Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate the Star Wars movies 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from ComicBookAlex.com.
And I'm Chris Eliopoulos, creator of Pita de Retalia and Alex Robinson 4? What was the base number? But that was...
I think it's a 4, right?
4.
Sounds right.
That's who I am.
And last week's guest was Asterios. He was a base or a planet or something too.
Right? A system, right? I think the Asterios system.
Yeah,
system. And Josh Flanagan,
Flanagan.
A planet and a system.
And our friend Admiral Mummert, of course.
Of course, God, I am the worst. I just keep throwing everybody. They have to keep letting me do more stories so I can get more people in. We'll just have everybody that's been on your show at some
point.
There
you go. Oh, you need, the list that you're on. If you have something where there's like, oh, here's a list of 94 people that
94.
Are, you know, suspected to be involved with the resistance, and then, you know, it could be a bunch of our guests.
That's
would you get in trouble if you were to monetize such a thing, like do a Kickstarter, and if someone gave you like X amount of money, then they'd be tuckerized into a, you know, you pay more for a character, there'd be a sliding scale.
Yeah, I think I probably would be
but you would never do
booted.
Such a thing. Wink.
No.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, you know, look, they've caught, like, not even caught stuff, but they've been like, well, even with like Pete stuff, originally, I think the way I had it spelled was the same way Pete was spelled in
Earth.
What is that? What's that Mockingbird trilogy movie show?
Oh, yeah.
Book?
Hunger Games.
Hunger Games. And so I had to switch it a bit. Mm. Look, I just do it because it's fun to have, you know, somebody's name in there and sort of make you guys canon and
absolutely
give you. I don't do it financially. It's just more fun just to let my friends have little, you know, bragging rights.
Now, do you think that Alex and I both kind of spotted one or two people that could have been Pete in the Rise of Skywalker? Do you think that because there are two, you know, there are two sources. Mm-hmm. There's the Poe Dameron flight log also refers. It has a kind of an update or something from Pete. So do you think that it's possible that one of those characters could be?
Maybe they're doing it. They don't tell me.
Right.
I haven't been looking as closely. I should be, I guess. Right. Like,
well,
just to see if. Any of this stuff carries over.
Yeah. So far, it's
but
it's
for our sake, I will say that it's definitely your character.
In the movie, sure, yeah.
In the movie, yeah. I mean, I do that, too. Like, I was looking in the last one, just sort of, like, in background, like, well, she might be able to fit the bill. She might be the, you know. I don't know if there's an Admiral Mummert around anywhere, but... But there's a possibility that Pete is there.
I think so. And since we're doing, you know, since that's the timeline, that's the era that they're focusing on.
Mm-hmm. Then that's it. We're in. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So what menu are we doing? Sorry to derail the conversation.
Well, today we're talking about
time.
64 of 64. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Minute 64 starts with Krennic urging the traitor to step forward, and it ends with the traitor stepping forward. That's convenient.
Hmm. Yeah, action-packed minute.
I like the kind of there's the parallel action of Krennic encouraging the traitor to step forward, and then Cassian, who knows who the traitor is, standing there not able to get him, you know, in his sights, also kind of wishing he would step forward.
Mm-hmm. But he can't hear what's going on, so he doesn't know
right
what the deal is.
Right. But so everybody wants Kaelin to step forward for different reasons, even though they're not working together.
Do you think Krennic knew it was him?
That it was Galen Erso?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he... Doesn't he...
I don't know.
I thought when Tarkin was saying, like, oh, the base that Galen Erso works at, I thought it was kind of... yeah, I guess you're right. You might not specifically know it was him, but...
Because like I said earlier, the way he responds, he says, it was me. It was me. Like, it's that weird...
Yeah, I almost wanted him to do a third line and say, it was me, it was me, it was me. You know, and put emphasis on every word.
Yeah, each word.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, he thought he knew Krennic knew that it was him. Like, that's what I gathered from it, but it doesn't make sense that way.
I think Krennic might be blind to, I don't know, again, we'll see to it. No, wait, Chirrut is blind. No, I think Krennic might be blind to it because, you know, he doesn't want it to be the case. But I don't know. Well, again, I haven't seen the full movie in a little while. I'm just basing that on what I've been gathering.
Mm-hmm.
So, so he's threatening to kill all these, engineer guys. And, I think that's a good move on Krennic's part, even if, because like either they were in on it and helped him, or they were too dumb to understand what was going on. In either case, they're not good assets to have working on your top secret military base, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so Krennic's right in this case. I think he's doing the right thing.
Yeah, but like I said earlier, isn't it kind of bad to, I mean, eventually what he's going to do to them? Like, don't you need these guys? I know you're saying that, like, their work is done.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, things break down. Why do you think everybody's got an IT system, you know, in place at corporations? Because things go down every single day.
Right.
You would think you would want these guys around. And granted, if one guy is the bad guy, you know, you sort of pull him aside. But getting rid of all of them is not the answer.
Well, again, the flair for the theatrics. Like, there seems like there would be a much better way to, like, interrogate these guys all individually, or, like, you know, I'm sure one of them would have named names, you know, if he had given them a chance to. But,
Well, plus, I mean, it matches up with the methods of Imperial, you know, intimidation and kind of discipline that we've seen.
Short-sightedness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. That they... you know, they have no problem just kind of killing people to slightly displease them as a message to others, and also as just a more convenient way of taking care of business.
Does that come from the top down? Like, I mean, I know Vader always just would kill anybody that was giving him a problem. Does like someone like Krennic take his marching orders from Vader like that? Like, do they all work their way down? So, like, you know, his assistant can threaten and kill the guy below him.
I think there must be a certain level between death is allowed as a incentivizer. It seems like that would be if you had any low level corporal could kill whatever low level private, that seems like it would get too out of hand. You need some kind of
right.
There must be a certain level at which those bonuses kick in. Like, okay, now I have unlimited murders of anyone beneath
right.
me. You know,
they're like personal days. It's like, all right, once you get to a certain point, you accrue. Okay, like you So with this promotion, you get to, you know, increase in salary. Also, you at your discretion, you can kill up to two underlings per year.
Per financial
or
quarter.
Or six in this case.
Yeah. Well, Krennic's probably
yeah,
up
you
there,
can stockpile them. They roll over year to year. So if you want to, you right. can save it and just do one. Your like, I want to kill 50 yeah. guys in one day. Go on a spree.
So maybe Krennic saved up for this day. Like he had two per yeah. year. He worked for 3 years and now he's mm-hmm. going to just expend it all in one shot.
Right? Yeah, that or like later on in the day, like some low level bureaucrat has to go over and say, Mr. Vader, I'm afraid you went over when you choked that last guy. You were over your limit for the. So you're gonna have to like make it up with community service or something. You know,
we're gonna
Vader
dock
must
you.
Be he must be over like his limit for like the next 6 years or so. You know,
yeah, we're gonna have to penalize your 401k.
Right,
your children aren't even gonna be allowed to kill people because you're paying off your.
Although, because he's not ranked, I think Vader is outside of the system. He's like a permalance kind of. Situation where he gets unlimited deaths because he's not on step. They can't really discipline him for that.
Yeah. Is it intentional that all of the the engineers are all old white guys in this day and age of inclusive? Because obviously the Empire, the First Order seemed to be a bit more diverse. They had like different, you know, the people of color and women and stuff, but the Empire seems pretty much a white guy thing.
Right.
At this point,
I mean, pretty much always, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. Have they retconned that? Like, have we seen lady stormtroopers in, like, in Rebels or anything? I'm not up to date on my all my Disney shows. If whether or not mm-hmm. the
I don't know. I mean,
they're retconned.
they're in the you know the modern the stormtroopers are fairly diverse now because they're pulling them from. You know, they've got a system for that. But I think as far as like Imperial, you know, officers, rank and file, like the system, you know, the non-grunts, I think it's all still kind of, you know, British white guys, right? For the most part.
In Imperial or First Order?
Oh, well, yeah, I guess. I keep conflating the two. I forgot that they're two separate entities.
Yeah. Well, I guess ultimately they're not really two separate entities, but less than about the better.
But it follows suit to the first movie, which was, you know, that they were all white guys there. So maybe they were just sort of keeping that consistent.
Yeah. Well, everyone was white guys there. I mean, the rebellion was all white guys. So it's hard to say what was institutional racism of in universe and what was institutional racism in the meta universe.
Right.
So
diegetic institutional racism.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Speaking of old white guys, can we talk about my? Here's my engineer of the day. We should have thought ahead and gotten a little theme song for this bit.
Mm-hmm.
We have Vlex Onopin.
Vlex
Onopin or Onopin Onopin. Vlex Onopin.
It was me. It was me. It was me.
VLEX Vlex Onopin Onopin.
I think a V, if you turn it upside down, it looks like an A. So I'm going to say that that's me. I'm going to say that that's Alex Vopinson. Alex Vopinson. That's my that's me Tuckerized. So
yeah, all right.
I get to double dip.
Wow. Now we're just grabbing characters, huh?
Well, we've so Vlex Onopin is played by a guy named Weston Gavin.
Weston Gavin. That sounds like a Star Wars name.
I was going to say, do they just choose these actors based on that their names sound? Why don't they just keep their names in the movie?
Yeah, Weston Gavin totally sounds like it could be a Star Wars. I think, I don't know. Does he sound, that sounds kind of like a rebel guy, though, more so than an Imperial guy, for some reason.
Maybe a defector.
Hmm. Weston Gavin, there's awesome stuff here. Not only is he a folk singer.
What?
But he is a
filk singer.
He is an actor who's been working for a long time.
Long time.
94.
And the thing that we probably most best know him as, we get to go back to who was he in Superman. And in the original 1978 Superman, Weston Gavin is the mugger who pulls Clark Kent and Lois Lane aside and threatens them with a gun that where Clark catches the bullet. Well, Superman catches the bullet.
Wow.
And appropriately enough, Clark Kent tells him, this isn't the answer. You can't solve society's problem with a gun. And that here he is trying to do that again. In
the biggest gun.
Yeah, exactly. And then also for the, maybe this slightly relevant for Godfather Minute, but in both Curse of and Trail of the Pink Panther, he played a mafia boss.
Who unfortunately learned that you can't change people's minds with the barrel of a gun.
Exactly. But yeah, Weston Gavin, interesting guy. Who was in a folk singer who... apparently, let's see, at the age of 3, Woody Guthrie visited his family in New York City, and then he was inspired, and when he was a teenager, he started playing folk music around town, and then he's done albums since then, over 800 songs, apparently, and just still does, you know, kind of clubs and concerts and you know, releases albums and all kinds of stuff.
Do you think if you were to approach him at a comic book convention, does he have photos from Superman and from Rogue One for sale? And B, does he have CDs of his folk music for sale?
I would say definitely B.
Definitely the folk music, but not necessarily Superman?
Depends on the convention.
Okay.
You know, if they're
what's his name again?
Weston Gavin. Although it seems like originally he was I just closed the page, but he recorded under like Gavin West or something like that at first. I forgot what the he had a pseudonym as a folk singer. Jimmy Gavin. But Weston Gavin is his most credited name, and he's the even as the mugger, like even in 1978, he didn't look like a young guy. He looked kind of like a middle aged kind of hard scrabble guy, and here he is, some 40 years later, 40 plus years.
I was trying to find him on iTunes. I did not find any of those names. I found a Jimmy Gavin, but just not. He looked like he's 12 years old, so I don't think it's him. Well, that's the thing, right? With these guys, it's always like sort of about their secondary career,
right?
Like,
here's his
Johnny Depp is always about his music and not about the acting, and
right.
Billy Bob Thornton too.
Yeah. There's a Bandcamp page. Which has a couple of, a couple of different links, a couple of albums, not 800 songs, but, he's got a handful, one called Johnny Rolling Stone, which has a picture, includes a picture of him. Johnny Rolling Stone was the first folk rock song ever recorded, released on Epic in the early 1950s. And there's a picture, a promo sheet, promo picture of him from the 50s or 60s, looking with a acoustic guitar. I'm probably getting ready to sing this song.
So, oh my gosh, how old is this guy?
What I'm saying, he was old as the mugger. Not old, but see, he was born in 1935. So what does that make him?
So he's 70 something, almost 80.
Could be.
80. I guess he's just playing an engineer standing on the...
Yeah.
The third question, was the casting person a fan of his music, and that's why he included him in the movie?
Well, I think he's just had a career of playing guys like that. Some, maybe the casting person had no clue. They were just like, oh, yeah, we, you know, one of those guys who was in, let's see, what did he do? What was his credit right before this? Because it wasn't like he was retired and just playing music. He was just been...
like a working actor.
Yeah, he was in a whole bunch of... like,
do you think J.J. Abrams approached the surviving Beastie Boys and asked them if they wanted to do cameos in the in Star Wars?
Could be. Although I think...
it seems like if I was a director, that's what I would do. I would just use it as an excuse to get people I wanted to meet and say, hey, do you want... hey, Elvis Costello, do you want to have a cameo in the Star Wars movie? And then, you know, you come to the set and I get to meet him and stuff.
Although, you know, chances maybe he did and they didn't... either didn't want to or couldn't work it out.
Would that hurt the Beastie Boys' coolness or help the Beastie Boys' coolness?
It depends on the role.
No, I don't think so. I think they're above a cameo in a Star Wars movie.
So it would hurt them if they showed up as the Spacey Boys.
Yeah, they're too cool now.
They were the Spacey Boys. That would definitely hurt them.
Their new name.
Zillow Beastie Boys.
I mean, that's the thing, right? With cartoonists, we sneak friends' names in so we can get on podcasts.
Yeah.
You know, it's the reverse, but
similar.
So does water affect these blasters? Like, even if he tried to pull the trigger, would he be able to shoot?
You mean Cassian?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He's a professional, so I imagine he probably would have brought a gun. He knows he's on a rainy planet, so he probably picked a gun that was good for rain environments. That would have been great if he shot it, just like steam just wound up shooting out of it.
Out of his ears.
Yeah, because he would be so mad that his gun didn't work. Speaking of his gun, there's a shot of his, you see it through the scope of his rifle, and there's some Aurabesh there. And I said, well, I got to do it. I got to look it up.
Oh, good.
And then I was like, well, you know what? I'm sure some other nerd has done this. And so I did. I looked it up. And on the Wikipedia page, you can find all the examples of Aurabesh in all of the movies explaining what the Aurabesh says in the in the movie. So you see on his scope there, and nice detail, in Aurabesh, it says safe, semi, or stun. So presumably those are the settings that you can set this rifle for. So safe, I guess, would just be like a flashlight, like a laser pointer. I don't know what semi would be.
Like a semi-automatic? It's just kind of keep... I don't know, so like a sniper rifle, though, right?
Well, I assume since it's stun, I assume it's like you can either set it to be harmless. I mean, maybe semi would be... maybe those are like the alternate, like the default is just kill, and then you can pick one of those, you can click on them to change it to that thing. So, but it also has XT, XTR, and TRA are also three Aurabesh things. Like extra kill, extra kill. Or
extra kill.
Yeah, so.
Not just kill him once, kill him twice.
So, I think The Last Jedi was the most Aurabesh in it, in case you're curious. The Force Awakens had a lot of Aurabesh in it, but a frustrating amount of it was just gibberish, which is like, what's the point? Why are you going to go put sprinkle Aurabesh everywhere and then just to make some nerds angry that it doesn't add up to anything? Aurabesh. Have you ever had to letter Aurabesh, Chris?
They've actually given us the font to use in on the books when we're lettering the pages. I'm offhand, I don't remember doing that myself. I'm sure we have done it, obviously, because my name was used in that Darth Vader book in Aurabesh, right? And they translated it. But yeah, they use it everywhere. Now it's sort of, but that's the sad part. Like, it used to be, like, you didn't know what the letter forms meant, but now, like, even in, like, Star Wars land, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
So you can look it up. It's even on, like, on the rides now. They place it in places so that you can, and then they give you, like, this game app that you can, you know, point it up there and it'll translate it for you. So, sort of the fun of discovering it is no longer limited to the total nerds. It's to anybody. Once again, we're diluting our club.
I can't decide if I'm disappointed that it's obviously I'm most disappointed if it's just gibberish. That's the least interesting thing to do with it.
Right.
But is it almost more interesting to have it be not like instead of saying safe semi-stun, should it have say something like you found the hidden message or some like clue as to like a website or something that you're supposed to go to, like to really reward people for putting in that that work?
I don't know. I can see people going either way with that. People being disappointed that it, you know, that that's kind of out of context, out of universe. You know, it take you out of it if you saw that and it you know referred to something not in the movie, you know, telling you to go somewhere else and do something else, but
telling you to go somewhere and do something.
Well, here's the weird thing, right? So obviously the people that are putting this stuff together are the ones putting the Orbesh on there, right? Like it's not a director saying, hey, on these little pieces, put this, this, and this. It's usually the people who are designing it. But are there like oversight people who have to read all of this to make sure that there's not like something that shouldn't be? Like I know in comics, like if we put like a Orbesh in there, it has, they go through it and they have to check to make sure it doesn't, you know, curse or anything like that or say something bad about somebody. Do they do that? Is there somebody in those credits that said, you know, like is the Orbesh checker? To make sure that, you know, it's not, it doesn't say like F you fanboys or something like that, you know? Yeah. I mean, because, you know, like obviously not, nobody the higher up is going to be checking this stuff.
Right.
But, you know, it's
the Bob Iger sits there with his Orbesh guide and
he's doing he's going back and forth.
I remember listening to the commentary on one of the Lord of the Rings movies and I think it was the Fellowship and they had that dwarf tomb where there's all sorts of like runes and stuff carved into it. And Peter Jackson said something like he heard a rumor that one of the prop people or construction people had put like jokes in it. And so the people had to go through it and read every single rune to make sure that there was no, they wanted it because he didn't want any like, you know, anything to take people out of it. And it turns out there was none in it. So it was all for nothing. So, but you know, it's like that R2-D2 and C-3PO being in the Ark of the Covenant, you know, the Well of Souls. Does that,
right.
I think that's the kind of stuff is funny. I would like it if people include stuff like that in it, but,
Or like the ETs at the Senate or weird stuff like that, where it kind of brings it through. But
on behalf just have to of be all careful. The movies, it can go too far.
As always. Because once you go down that road, it just everybody starts doing it, and then it becomes a thing. And then, you know, Disney will be like, oh, we didn't realize that this was so popular. I guess we're going to exploit this now and sell something.
Yeah. All rush dictionaries. And I guess we need a dictionary. Just be a Hadid's dictionary. You need. So with the Death Troopers for a second, to rewind... So Krennic's like, ready, aim, and then he says, fire, and then Galen Erso jumps in front and says, no, wait.
Stop the execution.
These kind of things always annoy me, because it seems like if I was a Death Trooper, I wouldn't stop because Galen Erso jumped in front of everyone, especially if he's saying, ready, aim, fire, and then you jump in front of everyone. If I'm a Death Trooper, I'm firing. A Death Trooper. It's half of your job description right there.
They're not going to yell at you. You're like, hey, look. It's in my name. It's what I do. It's a Death Trooper.
Yeah. That's why I'm wondering if Krennic like knew Galen Erso was a traitor, and he's like, "Okay, listen, boys, I'm gonna go in there. I'm gonna tell you that you're gonna shoot everyone, but you know, I'm gonna say ready, aim, fire. But I feel like I'm gonna call his bluff. So don't actually fire at that point." So they kind of knew that they weren't really gonna be firing them, and you know, he just knew Galen Erso enough that he would crumble under the
and
pressure.
Scene.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, right? Because maybe, and they all knew this, right? So that's why he says, it was me. Like, I got it. You were playing me. They weren't going to shoot. You're right. You pulled me out. I got it. You know? I don't know.
Does he kill them in this minute? Is that tomorrow?
Where they actually...
where he's like...
I think it's tomorrow. Yeah, I think it's tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Okay, yeah, I was looking at my notes for tomorrow. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, that's a... I mean, yeah, I mean... Well, I mean, the joke is stormtroopers miss everything.
Yeah.
Do death troopers never kill... I mean, I guess they do in this one, but...
Yeah.
Death troopers.
They're but the ones you want. If you want somebody actually killed, shot and killed, you need a death trooper. Yeah.
Well, of course, as we learned, originally they were called death troopers because they were supposed to be literally zombies who were brought back to life. So,
oh God,
right?
That might be more like, well, we're not death in that we cause death. We're death in that we are part. You know, we were raised from death. It's kind of misleading. A lot of people make that mistake.
Hmm. I just thought they were only assigned to the Death Star or something like that. You know?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Death troopers are only on the Death Star.
Oh, and death squad commanders. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing I will say in this minute that I have is it infuriates me that this whole time Cassian is looking down his rifle scope and he's like, oh, I can't quite get a clear shot of Galen Erso. And then he has a clear shot of Krennic the entire time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like,
but that's not his mission.
I know, but like you'd have multiple shots. It's not like you'd get one shot at it and then that's it. Like, you know, it would take them a second to be like, what the heck? And then figure out what was going on. Come on. You can't take out the guy who's right under, you can take out Hitler's second in command. You're like, no, sorry. My job is to kill Wernher von Braun. Didn't say anything about killing Hermann Göring. You know, come on.
Right. We already know he's willing to disobey an order.
Yeah.
So he could make a call on the fly. Like, well, oh, we didn't know Krennic was going to be here. Yeah. They probably would have wanted him worse.
At first, I thought he was kind of like he couldn't get a shot because he couldn't even see him because he was like behind something or whatever. But then he just pans the thing over and he's like, oh, look, there's Krennic. There's a totally clear shot of the guy who maybe he doesn't know who he is. Who knows?
Yeah.
If I see a guy in a cape like that, I'm assuming he's important.
And he's got like a white outfit as opposed to everybody else's in black clothing and stuff. It's like, oh,
yeah,
you know, all the higher ups always have the black
white outfit. Easiest shot in the world to make.
I know.
Hmm.
Well, maybe he just keeps getting rain in his eyes. He can't really focus. And
he's not a thug. Maybe that's it.
I mean, my thing was I just kept wondering. The music and the emotion, it drove me nuts because I didn't understand what he was waiting for. Like, I couldn't tell if he couldn't get the shot, didn't want to shoot. Was he kind of like at the end, was he disappointed that he couldn't get the clear shot or was he disappointed or was he just backing out from not doing like it was a very kind of non-committal few moments. He just kept looking down the barrel, not looking down the barrel, looking down the barrel, not looking down the barrel. Like, and even the music when he finally like it didn't rise to the tension of like he's about to shoot. He's like, you know, his finger's about to pull the trigger. You know, you hear the raindrops and then it just was like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and then he just gives it up. I don't know about you guys. I just didn't feel like I knew what prevented him from shooting. Or was that just me? Am I the only one who's lost in this?
I think it's both. I think, you know, it's building tension for us by him not being able to get a clear shot. And then to see once he has it, to have him. Although I think it's once the actual shot that he has, doesn't he see? No. When this will be tomorrow, but.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not he sees Jin first.
I don't think he sees her until they're all shot down, until all the scientists are shot down. And then he kind of, he gives up, and then he looks through the binoculars, because the next one, he's not looking through the scope of the blaster, he's looking in through the, whatever binoculars you want to call them, the quadnoculars, octnoculars. So he's already put the gun down.
Right.
But yeah, well, so I don't know. Maybe that was just me. I felt like it was a sort of a lost moment for me.
Well, we will, that bit goes into tomorrow. So let's, I think we'll close out 64 unless you guys have anything. It'll come back up because that's a large part of what we'll be talking about, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have anything else specific to 64?
Should I'm good.
If you, you there, listeners, hello, do you want to,
settling when you address them directly, like suddenly,
what are you, a robot? Are you a droid?
You, Hey, listener, wake up. How we've typical. been, the,
Sorry.
No, I got derailed. I was trying to figure out, but I was going to say, if you are you stuck in the rain and you want to protect yourself, you don't want to get all, you know, soaking wet, you want to protect your quadnoculars, octonoculars, whatever you got, why not go to StarWarsMinute.com/merch and you can buy t-shirts or a tapestry. A tapestry would make a great thing to protect you from the rain. They don't think they do umbrellas yet, but you could get a mug maybe to collect the rain.
Yeah, hoodies.
Hoodies, there you go. That's good. Anyway, all kinds of good stuff in there. StarWarsMinute.com/merch, M-E-R-C-H, and all kinds of fun stuff with our designs on it. And then go there, buy some stuff, come back tomorrow. We'll be here for a brand new Star Wars
Minute. Star Wars Minute!
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.